We are live.
Okay. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I'll go ahead and call to order this hearing of January 28, 2021 in the matter of case file Z0481-20-SL, application for a replace. My name is Joe Turner. I'm the county's hearings officer. I'll start with some brief announcements and a summary of the process that will follow so everyone understands how you can participate in the hearing. This online hearing is reasonable and necessary at this time to comply with the state's social distancing order, maintain public health and safety, and meet state-imposed deadlines for decisions on land use applications. I start by saying I am not a county employee. I am licensed as an attorney and trained as a planner. I serve under contract to the Board of Commissioners. I say that so you know you're getting a somewhat independent review of the application before me today. My role as the hearings officer is to conduct public hearings and make decisions about certain land use matters in Clackamas County. In making those decisions, I am required to apply the county's existing laws. I'm not a policymaker. I don't have the authority to vary from or change the laws. If you think that the laws need to be changed, you can work with Planning Commission and Board of Commissioners to do that. But state law requires that this application be judged based on the laws in effect when the application was filed. As a hearings officer, I'm to provide an unbiased decision maker. I believe I am unbiased with regard to the application before me today. I have not had any pre-hearing contact with any of the parties regarding the substance of the application, and I don't have any interest in the subject property or any of the surrounding properties. But you have the right to challenge my impartiality, to argue that I'm biased in one way or another, and you can do that when it's your opportunity to testify. Procedure will follow. I'll start by asking staff, or I guess staff will summarize the online hearing process, and then they'll summarize their staff report. Then the applicant will have an opportunity to present their proposal and respond to the staff report. Then if anyone else wants to testify about this application in support, in opposition, or with questions or concerns, they may do so. Once everyone who wants to has had an opportunity to testify, I'll give staff and the applicant an opportunity to respond to the testimony that was offered. If that response includes any new evidence, I will give everyone a chance to respond to the new evidence. Otherwise, I'll close the public portion of the hearing and announce what I'm going to do. In most cases, I'll issue a written decision within about 2 weeks after the close of the public record. I'll send that decision to the county. The county will send it to parties of record, so anyone who's testified orally or in writing will receive notice of my decision when it's issued. If you choose not to testify, but would like to be sure and receive a copy of my decision, you can contact staff and provide your mailing address, and they can do that, put you on the list. Anyone with an interest in this application may offer relevant oral or written testimony, but testimony should be relevant to the applicable approval criteria which are set out in the staff report. However, it's important that you make your best case to me. My decisions are final for purposes of the county, but may be appealed to the Land Use Board of Appeals or LUBA, but generally will not allow new testimony and evidence on appeal. They'll decide any appeal based on the record before me. So if you feel it's important that myself or any future decision maker knows something about this application, you need to make sure it gets into the record before me. In order to preserve your right to appeal, you or someone expressly representing you must testify orally or in writing before the close of the record. And in order to raise an issue on appeal, someone must have raised that issue before me with enough specificity that people understand what the issue is and with evidence in support of that issue. If the applicant wants to object to any conditions of approval on constitutional grounds, they must raise those issues before me as well, again, with enough specificity that people understand what it is and with evidence in support of it. Otherwise, the applicant can't raise those issues on appeal to circuit court. If you feel you need more time to prepare, you can ask me to hold the record open or continue the hearing. If I hold the record open, you'll have an opportunity to submit additional written testimony and evidence before I make a decision. If I continue the hearing, we can come back and do this again at a later date. But whether or not the hearing is continued or the record is held open for any other purpose, state law requires that I hold the record open for an additional week for the applicant to submit a final written argument without any new evidence. The applicant can waive that right if they choose, but if anyone else wants me to hold the record open or continue the hearing for any other purpose, you must make that request before the close of the hearing today. In addition, my decision must comply with state law that requires that I issue a final written decision within 120 days after the application was filed. So there's some limit to how long I can continue the hearing or hold the record open. When you testify, please, well, we will go through the list of attendees and ask, unmute you, ask if you want to testify. If you do, please state your name and full mailing address. Please spell your last name so I get it right. Although everybody's name is listed on our screen here, it's not always, it doesn't always provide the full listing. If it's a longer name, it drops letters out of the middle. So please state your name. Please spell your last name so I get it right. And if you come back and testify again, please state your name again, because it's not always clear from my screen who's speaking. Just makes it easier to follow. But that concludes my introduction. Mr. Blessing, you want to start your staff report? Oh, and your county intro as well.
County intro, okay, thank you. Clackamas County is abiding by social distancing requirements during the coronavirus pandemic, so this public hearing will be conducted virtually using the Zoom platform. Panelists for today's hearing, which include the hearings officer, county staff, and the applicant, have both audio and video capability. Audience members who have joined the meeting will have their mics muted unless they wish to testify, in which case they will be called upon to do so by the county staff moderator. Audience members' video will not be turned on at any time. Today's hearing is being recorded as required by law. The county will make every effort to post the recording on the county website later today. There is a designated time during the hearing when it will be open for testimony. The hearings officer will make it clear when this is. If you want to provide testimony, you will utilize the raise hand feature. Note for attendees on PC and iPad, you have a raised hand button on the Zoom bar, which is top or bottom depending on your device. When the moderator switches you over to provide testimony, your screen will look different for a little while. Primarily, you will see all participants' cameras, not just the one who is speaking. Staff will call upon you when it is time for you to provide testimony. Be sure to provide your name and mailing address when you begin. Once you have provided your testimony, your mic will be muted and your screen will be returned to normal. If the record is left open at the end of this hearing and you wish to submit additional written testimony, email written testimony to bblessing@clackamas.us. That's my email. Or mail it to Clackamas County Planning and Zoning Division at 150 Beaver Creek Road, Oregon City, Oregon, 97045. The staff contact email address is also available on the webpage where you found the Zoom link for today's hearing. Testimony must be received by 4 p.m. on the day the record closes. People who testify and provide their mailing address will receive a copy of the hearings officer's written decision. If you do not wish to testify but would like to receive the decision, you must provide your email or standard mailing address. One, by email to the staff contact of the application, or two, by entering it in the Zoom chat function during the hearing. Thank you. Okay, so I can go right into the staff report?
Please.
Okay. Again, Mr. Hearings Officer, I'm Ben Blessing, Clackamas County Planning. This is for the aforementioned file Z0481-20-SL, 20-lot major subdivision. This is just to orient the zoning. So the subject property is two tax lots. To the north, you have
We're not seeing your screen, Mr. Blessing.
Oh.
We're just seeing you.
I'm sorry.
That's okay. One of the joys of these online hearings, there's always something.
All right. How are we now?
There we go. Now we've got staff report. There's a title page. Yep.
Okay. Okay, so yeah, you got the first title out of there, Ben Blessing, planning staff. So this is
There we go.
a okay, so this is a zoning map just to orient you with the two tax lots. To the north, we have medium residential, which is tax lot 1400, I believe, and to the south, urban low density residential R7. This is an overview of the subdivision layout. Of course, as noted in the prior slide, MR1 is medium residential, so you have a higher density, and the applicant has elected to construct attached single family, or I'm sorry, attached dwelling units. You also have the R7 portion, which is will be typical single family homes. You also note that you have track B, which is a storm detention facility, and a 31-foot wide track A, which will contain the private road. Just a surrounding area map. Just noting, as I was said in my staff report, generally to the west you have single family homes, and approach to the east, approaching McLaughlin, you get into more attached dwellings, medium or medium density kind of multifamily apartments and some manufactured homes. And of course, this area is fairly close to McLaughlin Boulevard, which has got the rapid transit line. And then, of course, you have about 3/4 miles to the north, 3/4 miles to a mile away to the north. You have the Max Light Rail station. This is just another aerial view, with a little higher quality resolution. And of course, I didn't. The southern lot here too is part of the subject property. So quickly, some subdivision highlights. As I said in the beginning, zoning districts are MR1, that's tax lot 15, and R7, tax lot 1400. The R7 zoning will contain 6 single family homes, and the MR1 zoning will contain 14 attached dwelling units. So the attached dwelling units are permitted to be on if the applicant proposes a subdivision. Attached dwelling units are permitted to be on lots of any size proposed by the applicant. The lots proposed for the attached dwelling units are generally between roughly 2,000 to, I think, somewhere above 3,000 square feet. With that, on the MR1 portion and the attached dwellings, you will have there will be an additional land use permit required for design review when before the attached dwellings building permits are issued for the attached dwelling unit. And then, of course, that's not the case for the R7 zoning district. So the Oregon Department of Geology and Minerals has a map that shows hazards called a Bulletin 99 map. That map did show that there was the possibility of wet soils on the subject property and in the vicinity. That was the only hazard staff noted in the area. But a condition of approval is recommended, requiring either a soils report or a geotechnical report from a qualified individual to note if there's any special construction requirements for new dwellings, such as, the size of footings, that kind of thing, or not. Sanitary sewer, stormwater, and water shall be regulated by Oak Lodge Water Services. And we have Marcus Mead with Oak Lodge. He's here if there's any specific questions on that. And finally, a homeowners association shall be created for the maintenance of tract A and B. And the specifics of that, of course, are detailed in the conditions of approval. And finally, some transportation notes. And also, we have with us Ken Kent with Transportation Engineering. Full vehicular access to Southeast Courtney is not permitted. However, there will be a gated entrance for emergency access only. Of course, the emergency vehicles will be able to access that. They have, I believe, a key, and it's just a swing gate that opens up if they need it for that access during an emergency. Southeast Courtney Avenue and Southeast Linden Lane will be developed with full frontage improvements based on the cross sections for Courtney and Linden. And then, of course, the new private road, Reese Lane, which is Tract A, will have sidewalks on one side. And then here we just have hopefully you can see a infrastructure map prepared by the applicant. It's just basically showing where all the infrastructure is going to go. One thing to note, you have the storm detention tract here, tract B. The applicant's also putting, I believe, some in the, I believe it's landscape strip, some stormwater treatment strips right along here in this area to also contribute to the treatment and detention of the waters. So finally, staff's recommendation is approval with conditions as noted in the staff report. And thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Blessing. Mr. Gibbons, are you who's testifying on behalf of the applicant first?
I will start off, Mr. Turner. Thank you. Rick Givens, last name Givens, consultant working with Icons Project. Also with me today, but not visible on your screen, is Bruce Goldson of Theta Engineering. So if there are engineering questions, he can be muted and allowed to testify on that. That would be great. I think the staff report was very clear, and we don't really have any major issues with any of the conditions. As noted, we originally proposed this to have two accesses, one off Linden Lane and another one to Courtney. We applied for a design modification to allow for the additional access onto Courtney, since it's a collector street that was required. The review of that turned down the full access, allowed for an emergency vehicle access. We would note at this point that we will provide the emergency vehicle access only if that is required by the fire department. Otherwise, we would simply terminate the pavement on site and to provide a place for vehicles backing out of the lot to turn around and go back out the other way. Let's see. Other than that, as I said, went through the conditions of approval. I didn't see anything there other than I think the language here. Condition I on page 10 of 49. I think that's the wrong language. It says the private road shall be referenced on the final plat as a reciprocal and perpetual common access utility easement. I think that's the language that's used when you're actually proposing an access easement. This is a tract, and I just want to make sure that we don't end up at final plat with not having the language that this county surveyor wants matching what's in the condition of approval. So if we can kind of modify that to say, or language acceptable to the county surveyor, that would take care of that concern.
Or, what was the language you wanted, or what?
Or language acceptable to the county surveyor's office.
Just tack that on to the end?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
Beyond that, I don't have any other additional testimony, but we are available to answer questions. We're happy with the conditions, and we believe the application has addressed in our narrative and in the staff report meets all required code provisions. So happy to answer any questions you may have.
Okay. The only question I had, just to clarify the access to Courtney, if the fire district doesn't require it, you'll just stop the pavement at the back of the sidewalk and there won't be a driveway drop. It'll just be continuous sidewalk along Courtney. Is that correct?
Yeah, it probably actually wouldn't even go as far as the sidewalk.
Oh.
So would connect, but the paving for the road probably would stop just short of that. There's kind of a grade change there, so unless we have to make that, we just do not deal with the
sure
grade.
Okay, just wanted to make sure I phrase it right when I'm summarizing. Yeah, I see what you mean. Thank you. That was the only questions I had. Is there anybody else who wants to testify on behalf of the applicant? Okay. We have two attendees. One is listed by just as a number, 174111. I have no idea what that might stand for. And Sherry Dorst. If anybody wants to testify, please raise your hand, which there should be a button. If you move your mouse, it appears either the top or bottom of your screen. And I'm just giving people time to do that if they choose. I'm not seeing any hands raised. Mr. Gibbons, anything you want to add on behalf of the applicant?
No, I don't believe so.
And do you want me to hold the record open so the applicant can submit a final written argument?
No, I don't see any reason for that.
Okay. With that, I will close the hearing and close the record. Based on the findings in the staff report, this application does or can comply with the applicable approval criteria. So I will approve it subject to the conditions of approval. And oh, I'm sorry, I skipped over staff. Mr. Blessing, do you have anything you want to add?
I do not.
Okay. Any issues with the applicant's proposal that they would only extend the access to Courtney if the fire district requires it?
I believe, and Ken can speak to this too, but I believe that has been the case all along. Ken, would you confirm that?
Yes, it's Kenneth Kent, County Engineering. We have no problem with that change. I mean, typically, if we prefer not to have additional accesses unless they're necessary. In this case, if the fire marshal required it, then we'd want the connection. But otherwise, we're fine with stopping that on site.
Okay, that's what I thought, but I appreciate the confirmation. Mr. Gibbons, just in case, anything you want to add, give you the last word.
I'm good, thank you.
Okay, thank you. With that, I will reclose the record, reclose the hearing, and based on the findings in the staff report, the application does or can comply. I will approve it subject to the conditions in the staff report with the modification proposed by Mr. Gibbons regarding the surveyor language. And with that concludes our hearing. I will issue my written decision within about 2 weeks. Thank you all for coming.
Thank you.
Have a good day.